This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey, El Cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Great, Josh. This is going to be the final strategy podcast of the season. Just two game weeks are going to come at us before we next pod and do our recap of the season. So this is genuinely our last chance to spread our strategic advice across the interwebs.
Yeah, did you find yourself getting like a little... I feel like the last few weeks I've been in this kind of mode where I'm just like, all right, like let's get to the finish line. Like a lot of the cancellations and the rescheduling and the triple game weeks. And it's just like, I'm like, okay, I'm like ready for a break for sure. And then just yesterday I was like, wait, this is the last Saturday of matches until August, you know? Yeah. And I suddenly felt myself like getting a little sad about, So it's, of course, I mean, you know, it's just like how this stuff works, you know, you're hooked, but I don't know. How are you feeling now that we're basically done? Like we've got, I guess we only have amounts to three match days left, right? You have game week 37 on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then, you know, obviously game week 38 will be next Sunday.
I guess I'm feeling better than I was, say, a month ago. And that's probably helped by the fact that I'm on two green arrows in a row. And so to be finishing the season on that upward trajectory is good. And also there were so many joyful things that happened this week that were not FPL related. We can talk about the Alisson goal to end that Liverpool West Brom match. We can talk about Leicester winning the FA Cup, and then fans are going to be back in the stadiums for the next two matches coming up. So I feel like there's just suddenly I'm buoyed by some positive energy, and that's good.
Yeah. Me too. You know, I went to, it's my birthday weekend, and I don't know if anyone has ever, you know, anyone who's like in their 30s with kids, if you're looking for a great birthday idea, do what I did, which is my wife got me a night at a hotel. I live in Brooklyn, and so I stayed in Manhattan for the night, and so I basically had a day to myself in Manhattan to do whatever I wanted. And so what did I do? I went to the Football Factory, which is this bar in Midtown, this kind of massive, as we say in the United States, a massive soccer bar. And I went there and it was at like pretty much full capacity and it was great. And it was just like the way I always think of myself as being sort of the antisocial guy in the corner with this kind of stuff. But there was something about all there, 20,000 fans in the stands. And you really felt it watching the match. It was, it added a level of energy and excitement and the being around all these other people too. I ended up striking up conversations with people around me and sort of talking and drinking way too much at, for noon on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was just great. I was so happy. And, it was so fitting. I feel like that the final match without fans, was this, Everton Sheffield United match today. Like
yikes.
A match where there's just no way that Sheffield wins that match 1-0 if there are fans in the stands. That just to me was like a classic, like, let's get out of here. You know, it's Sunday night. We've got nothing, like no one really has anything to play for. Let's just, let's just, you know, be done with it. And I think, you know, if you had a bunch of supporters there, I think that would change the energy a little bit. And so I'm really looking forward to, you know, having supporters for these final two game weeks. And I think it, you know, could have some real fantasy implications too. And so that's, you know, basically this podcast, we're going to do a dual preview of Game Week 37 and Game Week 38, because they come, you know, as I just said, very quickly, right? Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday, they're all kind of together. So we're going to talk about all of those things. We're going to answer seven key questions, just because I thought five felt boring and cliche. So seven key questions, Brandon, going into Game Week 37 and 38. Just before we do, though, a couple things. One is score check time. Mm-hmm. You said you're on two green arrows. How are you, you know, how are you feeling about your team after Game Week 36?
Well, it was a roller coaster ride. So I took a hit going into the deadline, -4, and I brought in Harry Kane for Jamie Vardy. Good decision. I brought in Phil Foden for James Maddison. Bad decision. So the first match of the game week being Newcastle hosting Manchester City, I was upset. I was aggrieved. So much so that I immediately took a rage hit, which I almost never do. And there were also price predictions that were happening that night. And I just thought I've lost control. I was in a bit of a tailspin. So I'm already on a -8 going into the game week 37 deadline. All that said, and we can get to that later. The game week sort of balanced out after the whole issue with and a shout out to our friend James, who played his wild card going into this week and brought in Ederson, Foden, and Mahrez, none of which saw a single minute in that Newcastle match. So City rotation was a huge headache. But the fact that I had originally planned to bring in Rafinha and I got scared because of the Bielsa presser and like, is he going to start or isn't he going to start? Added to that, it put salt in the wound, right? So that's kind of what led to that the rage moves there. So, yeah. But it did even out at the end of the game week. I mean, bringing in Harry Kane was helpful. Captaining Mo Salah was good. So I landed on 56 points, 52 net with that transfer hit and a small green arrow to bring me up to 217K. So the race to 100K is on right now.
At least sub 200, right? For sure.
Yeah, precisely. How about you? How was your week, Josh?
Well, it was funny because I could not believe that Foden didn't start, for one thing. I was when you and I did our locker room conversation on Friday, and I was pushing for the Foden move because I just felt like why would he not start again? It just, you know, it felt very, I guess Pep's got some plan for you know how he's going to line things up, you know, leading up to the Champions League final or something. But it was a real wild match too, just kind of crazy match. You know, in the end, I mean, just the fact that you had Kane meant you scored more points than I did, because I brought in Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Son, and I got 5 points from my -4, right? So a +1 net. And, you know, so just kind of pointless. And now I don't have Kane, you know, and so I'm feeling a little worried about these final 2 weeks. He feels like the one player who could really hurt me, and he kind of already has. I mean, ultimately I finished on 51 points. I guess with the -4, it's more like 47. Jota didn't play. I didn't have anyone to bring on for him. But in the end, I actually only dropped 300 spots. I was 2,500 overall going into Game Week 36, and I leave it at 2,847. So, you know, pretty much pretty close to exactly where I started, you know, so that I, you know, didn't feel that worrisome.
It was like the Battle of the Somme for you, Josh, where there were a lot of casualties, but the actual line for the combat didn't actually move one way or another.
Yeah, it pretty much. Yeah, exactly. The lines are still roughly drawn as they were before. I think there was a comment here from Uga Booga. He says the season is almost done and I haven't made fantasy fun again. Help. And I feel like this was another reminder, Brandon, that make fantasy fun again is it's something to aspire to. It is not something that can be, you know, like I struggle to make fantasy fun again, you know, and so even when I have like a small red arrow, I'm just like, ah, like, you know, it's like, I don't take it in stride, the way that I should, you know? So, but I'm feeling about as well, as I could, for being on a red arrow, it feels pretty neutral. So, but I'm just glad it's over. I'm glad that the blank game weeks are done. I'm glad that, you know, these final 2 weeks, I don't think there's even a lot of chips left out there. I'm sure there are a couple people out there who are listening who've got a triple captain or a free hit or something, but it feels like you've had all these chances to use it. You know, I don't even know what the percentage left is, but I feel like some people just might not use it at all. Right. At this point, if you haven't used it already.
Yeah. Now the chips kind of become an albatross where you're like, well, now I have to use them. And I mean, I guess there's no way for a triple captain or a bench boost to hurt you. A free hit at this point, I might actually be scared of, especially if you're talking about game week 38, where rotation is kind of off the charts. Yeah. But I was thinking about Ooga Booga's question, like, what? How else could you make the I'm like recording like in the wilderness right now, so you can hear all sorts of nature sounds and also somebody on a motorcycle, and that's fine. I was thinking of specific ways that I could make the rest of the season fun if you've struggled like Ooga Booga to make it fun. And I thought of two things. One, you just have to bring in a random player who is going to make it fun for you to watch. And that is probably not ultimately good. It's probably not a good thing for your fantasy team, but
right.
There's nothing to me. There is inherent fun in watching a player who you like. So bring them into your fantasy team. The other thing is, if you're in a mini league, target somebody close to you in your mini league. I just started sending trash talk emails to a friend of mine who was kind of with me in mid table. And now it is all about me overtaking the 5-point gap that separates us. And that is a very achievable, fun goal that I can set my sights on for the next 2 weeks. So, you know, you just have to move the targets.
All right. Well, you got to tell me now, what is this -8? What moves? We don't have to get into them, but I'm just curious. What was your MFFA 3-move -8 that you took on Friday?
Oh, I would not suggest that I brought in players that were going to be fun. Like, I actually brought in players who I just felt I should have had in the first place. Uh-huh. And I brought in Rafinha, Bamford, and Calvert-Lewin. Ollie Watkins, Iheanacho gone, and also who was the midfielder who I dropped? Wow, that's a great question. Who I dropped? I have to go. It's like, oh, Gylfi Sigurdsson. Gylfi Sigurdsson. Yeah.
Oh, so you kept Foden then?
I did keep Foden with him. It worked out money wise, and Sigurdsson is worth more than Foden, so. I think I'm actually still going to start Foden going into game week 37.
Sure. Of course. Yeah.
So that was it. I was feeling very FOMO not having DCL, and I wanted to catch that price rise. And it seems like kind of a stupid -4 at this point for DCL, just given how crummy I think that their fixture is in game week 38. At the Etihad, but you know, miracles do happen in the last game week of the season. Bamford, I just love Leeds' fixtures and for the rest of the season. So him plus Rafinha, just that actually genuinely does feel fun to me.
Yeah, Rafinha, we'll be talking about in a minute now that we have this Diogo Jota news that broke. It feels like it's the season of the late breaking injury. You know, I feel like we're just constantly finding out about, you know, like as match day rolls out that some player is out for the season or out for, you know, 6 months or whatever. So I feel like that is a question that a lot of people are debating, and it's one that I'm seriously thinking about as well. So let's get into the questions then. But when we record this podcast, we're doing it, there have been so many Monday matches this season. So we haven't always had a chance to read off the OSG and Super League. So going into game week 38, here is the
37 top 10 going into game week 37.
Oh, excuse me. That's right. We have to, I've got my head, I've been brains on 38 already.
Yeah.
Going into game week 37, here's what we've got. Okay. In 10th, it's our Patreon supporter, Brandon Zoltan Vago.
All right.
Tied for 8th is I have to say an unpronounceable name. I really am sorry. If you go to
I think that's Cyrillic, maybe.
I think it's Cyrillic as well. So I'm not even going to try. And I'm sorry to this person with a very long Cyrillic name.
We respect you.
We respect you. In eighth is Ewan Miller. In seventh is Hazik Zaheen. In sixth is Johan Loken. I feel like I do like how international our Super League clearly is branded. I really like that about.
Agreed.
Unless these are all Americans, you know, and they're, I don't know. And we know that's not true. In fifth is Ross Jenkinson. In fourth is Matt Carvel. In third is Finn Solly. In third, actually, no, excuse me, tied for second is Finn Solly and Arkadas. And then in first is Vigard Knudsen. And just a fun note, Brandon, the top four people in the Iowa-Michigan Super League are all in the top 100 in the world.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, really, really very, very cool and exciting. So, yeah, so that is that's the Super League. Good luck to everyone in that league with just 2 weeks left to go. A couple more quick things. First is just a quick shout out to the Always Cheating FPL gift shop. We don't talk about it often on there, but if you go to alwayscheating.com, we have a gift shop there. So if you are the manager of your mini league, or maybe you're about to win your mini league or something, we've got t-shirts and hats and mugs and all kinds of fun fantasy related stuff in there, much of it related to our own podcast. So you can go and check that out. We also at FPL Merch, Brandon, one of our Patreon supporters,
a producer
a producer. Exactly. Well, a long time friend of the podcast. He also has like more sort of like standard customizable fantasy mugs that you can order. Mm-hmm. Those are really cool. And slick. And I actually have one myself, as do you, I believe.
Yeah. And so, what's cool about his mugs is they actually kind of they can mark this what kind of rank you had for that particular season. So if you had a fantastic season, get one of these mugs to commemorate it. You'll never forget your wife or your children. We'll never forget
children.
Every time when you're drinking your coffee, they'll say, hey, you had a really good season that season, didn't you?
And then, of course, the Patreon League, too. We've talked about it for a long time now. But if you want to support the podcast, if you win and you're just buzzing and excited, you want to talk to people on the Slack, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Brandon, this last cheater standing league that we're doing in the Slack, I feel so left out right now. It feels like they're all there's just the thing I love about the Slack is it really is it's become its own kind of universe, and to the point where I almost like I feel like I don't even know what's happening, you know, but in a way that really excites me.
It's so funny that all the supporters agree the Last Cheater Standing League is the best thing going, and we don't even know about it. So it's kind of funny. We made this thing, and now we're being left out.
Yeah, we got invited to the private channel finally on Friday. So, but you get an extra podcast each week if you befriend the right people. I guess you get access to the private Slack channels, you can get a Make Fantasy Fun Again T-shirt at the two top tiers, and then you get the weekend review newsletter as well. So let's take a break, get back, and we'll talk about Game Week 37 and 38. All right, Brian, we're back. As noted multiple times already, Game Week 37 kicks off on Tuesday. They have matches on Tuesday and Wednesday, which would be kind of fun because even though I'll be at work and I think I've got meetings like the entire stretch, but basically Game Week 37 is going to be like one long meeting for me, very annoyingly. Mm-hmm. So Game Week 37 ends on Wednesday, and we'll have matches on at the same time, which will be fun.
Yeah.
And then Game Week 38 is on Sunday, and you and I are planning to go to the Black Horse. You're coming back down from your upstate home. Your retreat, your semi-permanent retreat. You're coming down, and so we're going to be there on Sunday, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
So you know, big questions here. I mean, obviously we're really in the stretch run here. I am actually feeling a little bit of pressure and stress, which is the first time I felt that way almost the entire season. It's actually very reminiscent of how I felt a couple of years ago when I was in the top 1K going on the stretch, and I was sort of like just going along, having fun. And then like with 2 weeks left to go, I started to like hit the panic button a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And
talk to me a little bit more about that, because having podcasted with you as I do all season, every season, I haven't picked up a hint from you that I think it's because it's been relatively all good news for you this season. So it, you haven't really had to hit the panic button, but you've been relatively calm this entire time. So now suddenly it's dawning on you, like what you could lose as opposed to what you could gain.
I think so. I mean, it's just like a few different things, like, and I don't want to get too in my own team, but I mean, like, I think the feelings are universal, even if these circumstances are specific, right? Like I want to, I'm in a bunch of mini leagues that I have a really good chance of winning, and I want to win them, you know? And, but I'll, you know, it's quite tight in a bunch of them, you know, like to like within 15 points or so, in many of them. And, and I'm also I'm in this the qualifier league for the Generals Elite 64, and I really want to make that. I want to get into the Elite 64 next season. So I think I have a good chance. I'm in third place right now. I don't know that I would be able to drop. I'd have to do really poorly to drop out of it, but still, I am like, that's like very.
You just jinxed yourself right there.
I really did. I know. I'm just like, it's like stressing me out a little bit. So it's, but it's like, it's putting me in a position where I feel like I'm getting more conservative, and I'm like, I'm stopping. Yeah. It's like, this is the problem that I think other people have too, which is that you start to consolidate, but I think you can go too far with it. Like, I think, you know, in a normal week, I think I would have brought in Gareth Bale instead of Sun this week. Right, because that's just a slightly more fun, more like high upside kind of move. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't even think about it now, right? Because I was just thinking, Son has a higher ownership. It's going to hurt me more if he does anything. I got to bring him in instead. And maybe, you know, it's easy to say now that Son blanked that it was the wrong move. But it wasn't the way I had been playing most of the season, you know? And so I don't want to do that. And I have a real strong memory two seasons ago where I was, you know, going into the final 2 weeks, I think I was around, I think it was like 555 or something like that. I was really, it was the highest I'd ever been. And I really, going into Gaming 38, I was really nervous and I really wanted to stay in the top 1K. And the player I wanted to captain in Gaming 38 was Sadio Mane. And the player that I ended up captaining was Sergio Aguero. And the reason I did it is because I knew a lot of other people were going to be captaining Sergio Aguero. And so I captained him out of like fear, really, honestly, you know, just like that. And I hate to play that way. And I don't, that to me, it's like the opposite of MFFA, right? It's like, it's just not the way you want to play. And I also don't think that like, I just feel like I've gotten this. I mean, I'm sure other people who are having good seasons feel this way too. Like, maybe not across the board, but I feel like I've gotten this far by like just trusting my instincts, really, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you don't abandon that feeling down the stretch just to be safe, you know? So anyway, so I feel like this is like what I think, and I think we'll get into this with some of these questions, but what's hanging over me as we go into these final two game weeks is who's going to hurt me that I don't have? You know, like who's the player who could like really do damage, who could mess up my rank, mm-hmm. You know, and it's not even necessarily that I want to like bring them in, but I guess like I want to know, I want to know who my enemy is, you know, so this isn't even one of the questions, but I'm going to add this as a bonus question. So looking at game weeks 37 and 38, we've got the fixtures in front of us here. We've got the season ticker and all that stuff. Which players do you not have in your squad right now that you're like a little like worried about going into the stretch?
I guess it is. Is it Sun? I don't know. I mean, the Spurs fixtures aren't super appealing with Aston Villa and then Leicester. So I think I'm good with just having Harry Kane. As I mentioned, I just got my full allotment of Leeds players, and I feel like they probably have the best sort of attacking prospects for the run in.
I think Rafinha is definitely one of those, you know, he's a player I don't have who I really would like to have.
I guess Manchester United have a lot of interesting players where it could be Rashford, it could be Cavani, it could be Greenwood, but I don't think at this point the ownership, particularly in like the top 250K, would be high enough on those non-Bruno Manchester United assets where I would have to fear them. So I think that kind of goes back to my dramatic -8 that I just took, was getting in perhaps players that I wanted, and subconsciously it was because I was afraid of not having them. So I can't think of any other players that that I'm fearful of.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, if I'm kind of with you there. I mean, and even someone like Rafinha, I mean, it's not like you know, he's not like, I mean, you know, Kane is the obvious one. I talked about him already, you know, and, but outside of him, I don't think there are that many really. And I think maybe if you put like, you know, if you really think, I guess the, like, if you think through what that means, it means that the players who could hurt you are players who are kind of random, yeah, right? And sort of right. And hard to predict. So in some ways, maybe that means you shouldn't stress about it.
And the way mm-hmm. I read that is there is so much opportunity in the next 2 weeks mm-hmm. because an opportunity in a random system might not feel like opportunity, but if you're chasing, if you want to have a fun pick, if you want to do something unconventional, because exactly what we're saying, there are no major assets that you're probably without. There's just so much opportunity for you to do something a little different than what your other competitors might be doing. We're going to talk a little bit about how we can do that with captaincy in a bit too.
Yeah. And I like the way that you frame that, because that is a more positive way to look at it. It opens the door to some creative transfers. I was sort of thinking about it in the other way, which is like an emotional, right. You shouldn't worry about it too much, because it's really hard to predict who this player is even be. So there's no point in like trying to like cover them exactly, you know, because it's just too hard to pull off. I've been trying to figure out if there's a way that I could get Kane, in that like if I didn't replace Jota this week, is there some way to do it? And it really doesn't work, you know, mm-hmm. unless I drop Bruno basically, or like take a -8 or something, which I, you know, have no interest in doing.
Who would be so crazy?
I can't believe you did that. I can't remember you ever making a rage -8. I have to say, I could spend the whole podcast talking about that, but okay. So one thing, this is like the first of our seven questions. I'm going to drop down to question number three here, which is because I think it gets into this question of players who, I suppose you could frame it as players you want to target or players who could hurt you. The question is Man City rotation solvable? How about Man United? How about Chelsea? We have seen a lot of rotation with all three of those teams, and Man City being sort of, I mean, Chelsea too, but they're just less important fantasy wise. But I feel like Man City have really rotated heavily down the stretch here. And it makes it really hard to figure out who you should have, you know, from that squad, you know? Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, what do you think about Man City's rotation going into 37, I guess, to start with that one?
Before we started recording, I was on Twitter and I saw this thread from Anna Woodbury. I think her name is. So check out this thread on Twitter where she was outlining what Pep's rotation of his Barcelona squad was during the two seasons in which he won the Champions League with his Barcelona squad. Now, and Anna actually adds these caveats in, like this was years and years ago and it's a different club, it's a different squad. So is it apples and oranges? But what she did learn was Pep basically rested his entire starting 11 for roughly, you know, 2 weeks prior to the Champions League final, with, you know, certain big names getting minutes here or there. So it looks pretty bleak as far as major City assets go heading into game weeks 37 and 38. So I do feel like the 1 week that we could target would be game week 37, because at least if Pep wants to play whoever he might want to start in the Champions League final, playing him against Brighton in 37, probably a less high octane match than it would be in game week 38. And it will allow much more time for rest. And if you think about players like Foden, like De Bruyne, and Mahrez in particular, who was heavily transferred in going into 36, I think you do have to start them if you have them going into 37. As far as targeting Manchester City and trying to predict that rotation, I just can't underline enough the feeling I had when that team sheet came out against Newcastle to start 36. I had just brought in Foden. I just brought Foden in like 30 minutes prior to this team sheet coming out. And I kind of sat back in my chair and I was like, oh, right. Like it's like Omar in The Wire. Like you step to the king, you best not miss.
Yeah. And yeah. For him to not even play a minute, you've just laid out what Pep has done in the past, but I was still surprised, I have to say.
Yeah. So I feel like it's a game that's a little too dangerous to play. And I think because of COVID, because it's been such an odd season, I feel like it's been harder for us to find a certain rhythm with Pep's squad rotation. I think he's probably struggled too. I also remember before the, I think it was the Fulham match, Chelsea Fulham, and Tuchel was talking about his starting 11, and the interviewer says, Tuchel, you've made 7 changes to your starting 11 for Fulham. Like, that seems like a lot. And Tuchel looks at the interviewer like, really? 7 changes? Was it that many? That is a lot. And it was like, even he didn't realize how much he was rotating the squad.
Yeah. And I mean, it's crazy to me that Chelsea could be in a position where they are not in the Champions League next year. Like, that they could make the Champions League final, make the FA Cup final, be kind of right there, kind of in the driver's seat, really, until that Arsenal match. And it's not inconceivable at all, right? I mean, basically, Leicester have to find a way to get a point, when they play this week. And if that happens, then there's a pretty decent chance that it just seems that Liverpool win their final 2 matches, but I think they probably will. I mean, I wonder if some of the pressure's off now after that, crazy West Brom ending.
I suspect it is. Yeah, I think that the wind is blowing in favor of Liverpool right now, and then it's just a question of are Leicester or Chelsea going to buckle? And Chelsea have had a lot of their problem is, like, it's similar to Fulham. Like, they have had a lot of trouble scoring. It was like when Tuchel came in, it was Tuchel has emulated his career on Scotty Parker. I don't know if you know this, but he knew when he came in and took over that Lampard squad, he's like, I've got to solidify the defense first. Look at what they're doing across the road there at Craven Cottage.
Sure.
And but no, seriously, Chelsea just, they struggle to score goals. And I think if Chelsea fail to qualify for the Champions League, you just have to look to that fact and that fact alone that they just didn't score enough goals to get themselves over the finish line.
So Man City, I'm avoiding. Chelsea, I'm avoiding. The problem with Man City is, even if you feel like you can guess who they're going to start in Game Week 37, it's not an easy fixture. I think if there was any doubt before, I think it's been really put to rest the last couple of months. It is very difficult to go to the Amex and win. It was a really very, very late goal outside the 18-yard box, I think, from Benrahma, right at the end of that game yesterday. Otherwise, that was with them down 2 of their starting defenders. Like, that's how strong their system is. So I think with Lewis Dunk back, then it's not like, I'm sure Man City will win that match, but I don't see that being like a 5-0 thrashing or something. I think that's like a 2-0 or 1-0.
And additionally, I don't think it's going to be a priority for City to go out there and thrash Brighton.
Right.
So, another case to be made for, if you get the leaked team sheet for whatever reason, and you want to play Mahrez, it just doesn't strike me as a match in which City are going to set out to score a lot of goals. They'll just want to keep a tempo, get some mileage in their legs ahead of the trophy that they actually have to win.
I think Man United are a more interesting case. They're the team that really haven't rotated very much. They, have gotten a little bit of extra rest, although really they played on Thursday of last week. So it's hardly rest. I mean, right. They've only played, they have 24 additional hours that, compared to Man City and Newcastle, right? Like, it's, sort of, game week 35 just kind of blittered into game week 36. So I think that we'll see something like a full strength squad at home for game week 37 for Man United. And I think that Greenwood, we'll talk about Jota replacements in just a second here, but I think Greenwood is a real target there. However, I think even more than Chelsea and Man City, I think game week 38 could really be a worrisome match fantasy wise, because the match is on Sunday. The Europa League final is like 3 days later. Yeah. I believe it's on Wednesday. It could be on Thursday, but maybe it's either way, Wednesday or Thursday.
I'll look it up while you talk, Josh.
Okay, great. Right. So, I mean, and they play away to Wolves. It's not like it's a, super important match. They're pretty locked into the Champions League spots now too, especially if they beat Fulham on Tuesday, then I don't think there's any chance they could miss out on a Champions League spot.
It is Wednesday, by the way.
It is Wednesday. I thought so. Because the Europa League games are on Thursday, but I feel like the final is usually on Wednesday. So, right. So they, 3 days after that, they play in a European Cup final. right? I mean, I know it's not the Champions League final, but it's a European Cup final. Like, I'm sure he's going to want to put out a strong squad and win that match. And so,
these trophies do come with purses, with money. It's not like not like the executives are like, you know, we've got plenty of trophies in the cabinet. No, they're like, hey, this would actually be really great for the budget if you could go out there and win it, please.
And it's just like it's a prestige. I mean, you know, I think like you don't have to be. Like we've talked about, you know, the Fulham UEFA Cup run, you know, 10 years ago. But I think anybody, I think if you win a European Cup, it's important. And so, you know, I really stung when Arsenal lost the Europa League a couple of years ago. I think it was to Chelsea. And, you know, so I think that they're really going to go for it. Of course, Unai Emery is back now in the Europa League final with the new club. Hilariously. So I think that it's Bruno, I suspect, will at least start in game week 38. The one move I would consider would be to drop Bruno to fund a Kane move. And that's just like, that just feels like 40 chess, though, right? It's like I'm gonna overthink it. But I think Luke Shaw is the one that I'd be most worried about for game week 38. I think that if you have Luke Shaw, I wonder if that is a match where he gets rested, because again, what makes things complicated is that game week 37 is taking place Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, right? So you're in a position where they would be playing three matches in 8 days. Yeah. Typically, you know, in a situation like that, especially when game week 38 is going to be effectively meaningless for them.
And we just saw this with Manchester United last game week, where they had their triple game week and we had to deal with all that rotation. So we've seen it in action so recently.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're going to, like, write, like, depending on how the things shake out, like, they're going to write stories later about what I mean, like, that protest that canceled the Man United Liverpool match, like, maybe gave Liverpool a Champions League spot. I mean, is how it may end up shaking out, right? Yeah. Because Leicester ended up going there and winning at Old Trafford against, like, a complete backup spot, basically, right? And then they kind of like trotted another team out to play Liverpool a couple of days later. But even then, it was like there was just weird energy at that point, right? It was like it was just weird. It was the third match in a week, even if the other guys hadn't played. It was just a, like weird energy. So, the one thing I will say is that I think there's a chance that they do play something like a full strength squad away in game week 38, because I wonder how they feel about their momentum right now, having lost their last two matches, right?
Interesting.
And if the Fulham match is if that match is tight, you know, if it's just a 1-0 and they kind of just scrape it out, I wonder if they feel like, okay, we need to like recover our form a little bit before this final. So I don't know. It's I would be less worried about them than I am about the other.
I'm with you on the Shaw issue though, because there is no perfect replacement for Shaw in that fullback position right now, and he would be the one key player that Ole would look to protect the most. So I think you're right there.
Yeah, and Telles like did fine when he filled in for him in the Leicester match. So I don't know why. I think that there's a really good chance Shaw does not play in that Wolves match in game week 38. I hope he plays in 37 at least, home to Fulham. So let's get to the big question. I feel like I got asked this question in a bunch of different ways, but I picked Emile's because it was the simplest, and it was just, who is the best Jota replacement? We found out that Jota has this foot injury. We found it out minutes before kickoff. So you don't have Jota. You're lucky in that regard. You dodged that bullet
for once this season.
For once, yeah. So, you know, let's say you did though, Brandon. You know, his price tag is, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, it's kind of depends on where you bought him at, but it's around 7 million. And you know, so like kind of looking maybe in that 5 million to 8 million range, save some money in the bank. You know, who do you think are the replacements that, you know, that are worth targeting?
Okay, so I've talked about Leeds. Their final two fixtures of the season are away Southampton and then home West Brom. They will play for the first time in front of their fans in the Premier League in eons. This will be a massive deal this coming Sunday, I think, at Allen Road. And you just saw them put four goals up against Burnley. And the fact that Rafinha starts and he plays like the magical number of minutes, like 70 plus, where what that says to me is Bielsa is honestly really not that concerned about whatever lingering issues Rafinha may have. The caveat here, or the other thing that we have to think about, is that Burnley match was the Jack Harrison game. Is it, are one or two Jack Harrison performances this season enough to convince you to go Harrison over Rafinha? And if you look at their tallies on the season, Jack Harrison is on 8 goals and 9 assists, and Rafinha is on just 6 goals and 9 assists. Now, I think that there will be some people out there who will say, well, just look at the numbers, the FPL numbers. Why wouldn't you consider Harrison? I just think, you know, Rafinha is that classic eye test player, and I think that he has definitely delivered on his price tag FPL wise. But eye test says Rafinha is probably one of the most upside picks going into these last 2 weeks. And I think that, and I don't want to jump ahead in the running order, but I think Rafinha also has great differential captaincy potential if you want to be clever going into 37.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about him as a captain option. I think that does make sense though. I think that I also think that, I mean, I think Rafinha would I actually haven't compared the two of them, Harris and Rafinha, like on like a, you know, like an Opta comparison or whatever. But Rafinha has been like an underlying stats favorite basically the entire season. And for a while he was not quite delivering. It was like we all kind of knew that it was going to happen eventually, and then it really did. I think it was right around just looking back now, right around like game week 14, and then it was like pretty consistently delivering, you know, really down the stretch. And then of course he was injured and missed 3 matches. And so so the comparison to Harrison, you have to, and he also barely played the first 3 matches of the season, so he's got 6 matches on Harrison. 6 matches fewer than Harrison, you know, too. So
it's like, Josh, I just pulled them up on the Fantasy Football Scout comparison tool. And Harrison has Rafinha beat at 58% overall to Rafinha's 42 on key stats. And this is a little tricky. Like, I think where Harrison is beating Rafinha here is minutes played. Harrison actually crushes Rafinha in the bonus point system, which is interesting. So while the tool points to Harrison, I do think that it's scattered enough where I think you do have to go to the eye test a little bit between these two guys.
I agree. I mean, Harrison's not as good. I don't know what else to say. Like, Rafinha's better. Harrison has looked, I don't know where he pulled this match out of, because I feel like he's just like fallen off fantasy wise. He had a decent match home to Sheffield in game week 30, and I guess he had an assist in 32. But I mean, you know, I just feel like he's looked completely fried in my opinion. Yeah. I feel like I've watched every Liverpool, every Leeds match this season. And I just feel like Rafinha is more threatening. He is like, I would never captain Jack Harrison, for example. Also, Jack Harrison's always liable to get the hook. I feel like he's been hooked early several times this season.
Here's something I'll tell you, Josh, and this is a huge vote in favor of Rafinha. Goal attempts this season, 63 goal attempts for Rafinha versus 45 for Jack Harrison. Goal attempts in the box for Rafinha, 43 versus 36 for Jack Harrison. So just in terms of opportunities and looks at goal, Rafinha is edging out Harrison. So even though Harrison is currently the goal leader between these two, Rafinha is having more opportunities. So you catch Rafinha on the right match, and as we've seen many times this season, he's just going to blow Harrison's FPL performance out of the water.
Okay, so we're both on the Rafinha point. We won't beat a bit dead horse here. What about Mason Greenwood? I think he's another player to consider. Does that game week 38 rotation risk just? I feel like I'm asking a question that I like know what my answer is, but like I feel like the game week 38 rotation risk is knocks him down a little bit below Rafinha, because I think Rafinha has better fixtures and he is much, much more likely to play both the final 2 matches.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Greenwood is in the buy, hold, sell terminology of always cheating. Greenwood right now is a firm hold. He's not a buy. He's not a sell. I think because that Fulham fixture is enticing and they are playing in front of fans at Old Trafford in 37, I think that that's good enough for me to say, yeah, you definitely have to hold and start Greenwood and come what may going into 37, but I wouldn't be buying him. Certainly not.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. And then Joe Willock, I think, is another fun player to consider here, just because he is so cheap. And Newcastle have probably the best two fixtures to end the season. I mean, they play Sheffield United at home and Fulham away. Sheffield United, I don't know where Sheffield United pulled this match out of. Like, Everton did not look good today, but Sheffield United looked quite good. It was like so weird. Like, I was like, where was this team all season? Like, I honestly, like, they were defending well, they were pressing hard, they were intercepting every pass, they were blocking everything. It was like, it had to be their best match of the season. They really played excellently. So I don't know. I mean, that is not the Sheffield United we've seen most of this year. So I think Willock is worth considering. He's kind of on pens. I don't know. He took a pen on Friday anyway. Maybe after the one he took, he'll be off them officially, because mm-hmm. Joe Linton struck his pen a lot better earlier on that match. Okay, so we've named those players. Is there an MFFA player, Brandon? Is there somebody kind of off the kind of, off the like kind of like option, yeah, A, B, C, D, like the classic options that we should consider here or throw into the mix?
Yeah, I mean, my midfield picks have been so terrible over the last month with Foden, Sigurdsson, James Maddison. So I'm a little loath to pick, but Zaha looked fantastic against Aston Villa. He was a little bit flattered by the fact that Villa were playing with a fictional right back and El Mohammadi. And that just, like, we were talking about this earlier, where if you tuned in to that match in the second half, even though Palace were down 2-1, you're like, oh, well, Palace are going to win this match. And I think Zaha, Benteke, and Eze are kind of finishing the season strong. And then another miss that I've had, I've transferred Gareth Bale in at the wrong moments. But if you said so earlier in this episode, Josh, if you were to target an MFFA pick, Gareth Bale just seems like a just go for broke sort of a player that you can bring in and potentially have a cheeky captaincy going to 37 with him. Why not?
I like the Bale shot. I think that's maybe James Ward-Prowse, home to Leeds. I think he could get something in that match in 37. I think the Leeds probably win, but I think that he's been in pretty decent form recently. Picked up another assist yesterday. So again, we're just talking about like real, like, not the usual suspects.
Well, here's one for old time's sake, Josh. How about Thomas Souček, who plays West Brom in 37? Mm. And West Brom have had
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Difficulty defending set pieces, and I feel like Souček is in a long goal drought now since he had that flurry of midseason. But Souček is also one of those midfielders where he's super easy to bring into your team because he is so cheap, and that's a, like, you know, ride again for old time's sake into the sunset.
What about Saka or Smith Rowe? I feel like I haven't seen those names thrown around at all for down the stretch. I mean, Emile Smith Rowe has 2 goals and 2, and mm-hmm. he's incredibly cheap. He's 4.2 million. So if you are trying to fund a late Harry Kane move, then I think that he's a player that you could consider for sure. Arsenal have a pretty decent run in as well. I mean, they play Palace away. Palace conceded 2 goals today. They play Brighton at home in gaming 38. I mean, Brighton have defended well, but they really just honestly have nothing to play for now. So I, I would certainly favor Arsenal to score a goal or two in that match. So, Saka just being like kind of the, maybe like Saka being the Rafinha to Smith-Rowe's Harrison or something. But like, I feel like Saka is just such a great player that I feel like you can't go wrong bringing him into your squad, even though he has not been delivering a ton of fantasy returns the last few weeks.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe your fantasy team is distracting you from other important parts of your life. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, expertise that may not be locally available in many areas, and BetterHelp is worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/cheating. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the more than 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And here's a special offer for Always Cheating listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cheating. What do you think about Palace? I don't think you hold them in high estimation, but Arsenal and Liverpool, peculiar fixtures for them, but I just think both Arsenal and Liverpool have very dicey defenses, and even though they don't look like good on paper fixtures, is Palace anything right now?
I don't know. I mean, that Liverpool away match in 38 is really rough for them, right? Because Liverpool are like, game week 38 is typically a pretty open, you know, game week, but that one could very well be like a 1-0 match for Liverpool, right? Like if there's a very good chance that if they win that match, they're in the Champions League. So
it could be a revenge match for when Palace effectively took the title away from that Brendan Rodgers managed Liverpool team.
Exactly. Yeah. The famous, 3-3 draw, I think that one is not great for them. And I think Arsenal at home is fine. I think they probably, you have to favor them to win that match, right? I mean, Benteke looks so good. I don't know where this Benteke has been for years, literally like 4 years. We have not seen this. And now he looks like he actually looks good too. It doesn't feel fluky at all. I mean, he climbed on Courtney House's back to score, to score his goal today. And I mean, it was just like, he's very much informed player. He really should have had a brace. Hit the crossbar.
Like, and he was really heads up too. When Palace was on the break, he was controlling the ball and putting his fellow teammates in. And yeah, I agree. He looks like a player reborn.
Yeah. Shout out to our friend Tom Cantle, by the way, who's one of the few people I know who actually brought in Benteke down the stretch here. So, all right. So I think we're really in the Rafinha camp. If you already have Rafinha, I would consider Mason Greenwood, even with the game week 38 risk. If you want to be different, we would name a bunch of players, but I think that Arsenal duo someone like Saka just feels like a real MFFA pick. That's no one's going to have him, no one. And there's definitely some upside there. All right. So FPL Plonker says, with fans returning, as a reminder, we will have fans for 37-38. Should we favor teams playing at home this game week for our starting 11 and for our captaincy? It's a really interesting question.
Yeah, this question is one that I don't want to find myself overthinking because, yes, obviously, I think fans back in the stands at whatever capacity, and we saw it around the holidays when it briefly happened. You know, specifically, people will think about that initial Fulham performance against Liverpool. with the 1-1 draw, and it was just an incredible home performance in front of their fans for Fulham. However, I just think we know what we know. I don't think I would want to change my strategy and my thinking in 37 and 38 just based on these fan theories alone. I think the teams are still the teams, the players are still the players. So I mean, is if you look at game week 37, I would say, is Manchester United playing at home to Fulham enough for me to give the armband to Bruno over Salah or over Harry Kane?
Yeah,
I don't know. Convince me that it is, Josh.
Well, it's funny. I'm really seriously debating that right now. And I'm kind of leaning towards Bruno, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And it puts me right in that fear territory again. I mean, if I end up going with Mo Salah, it will be a very reasonable pick for lots of reasons. They have a lot to play for right now. He has been in good form. He really, the goal he scored today was really impressive. And he was setting up his teammates left and right. It was absolutely, it was insane that he only, that's why, you know, Mo Salah very rarely gets three bonus when he only scores a goal because he gets dispossessed a lot and stuff, but he really had a fine match. And, was lucky, a little unlucky to only get one attacking return, in my opinion. So I think that he's a great pick as well. But yeah, Man United is a slightly different category, right? Because there's this weird, what are the fans going to be like there? You know, I mean, like they just tried to stop a match from happening, yeah, right?
They're so not happy.
Do they just show up and tear out the seats or something? Like it's, you know, it could be a real mess. So. I hadn't even thought about that actually until we started talking about it. But Man United might be the one team that really don't get boosted by having supporters, on the grounds. I mean, I hope that's not true. But which is not to get into the context of the complaints about the Glazers, which I completely agree with. Mm-hmm, I wholeheartedly endorse the sentiment. I don't necessarily endorse the carjackings and slash tires, but you know,
it's not great.
That's a different, exactly. But whatever, you know, it's like no one died. It's fine. Like we can all move on and not get too worked up about it. For example, like Brighton host Man City in Gaming 38. And so you're going to have 10,000 fans, no away supporters either, just home fans for these final two fixtures. So you're going to have whatever it might be, 10,000 fans at the Amex, there to support Brighton, cheering them on. Brighton have not had these fans there the entire season. And I think it could boost them a little bit, right? I mean, you know, I think that you could see a little bit of an edge there. I mean, looking down the line here, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not sure, like, you know, Crystal Palace hosting Arsenal, maybe that does give Palace a boost too, right? They've got this great stadium and it's pretty intimate there. And I don't know.
Based on home fans, you've got three candidates for captaincy, obvious ones going into 37. You have Bruno hosting Fulham, you have Dominic Calvert-Lewin hosting Wolves, and you have Harry Kane hosting Aston Villa. So if you want to go on the home fan theory, I think those are your three options. Now, you know, then you think, well, Villa's defense can be kind of stingy, but you know, they do have some injuries at the moment. So that does augur well for Harry Kane. Everton coming off of just an awful performance against Sheffield United, probably scare a lot of people off Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And you just laid out all the doubts about what this home fixture means for Bruno. So, you know, suddenly you land on Harry Kane.
I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, I mean, would you consider Kane at all, Brandon? Like, is he somebody that you would, you know?
Yeah, right now on my bus team, I have the armband on Mo Salah and the vice captaincy on Bruno. I think right now for me, Harry Kane feels like a win even without the armband. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a strange way to view Harry Kane because he is one of those great FPL assets that when he returns, like he almost universally returns bonus points as well. And that is where the captaincy really does explode and work really well for you. So I guess I can't really make a true case against Harry Kane. I clearly just need to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the case would just be that Mings apparently is going to be back for 37, that Villa generally defend pretty well. I mean, you wonder if they, I mean, the Al-Mohammadi is like a real problem. Like,
he's washed up.
He turned away, you know, on that goal. I mean, yeah. Really, they really should have called an own goal just for the cowardice of it. And, you know, I mean, he's like a once, like he's been around forever. Right. I mean, he's their back. I'm not going to get too on Villa for their backup right back, but it does feel like there's been multiple times this season where you're like, man, if they had anyone better than Al-Mohammadi, they might be winning this match, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, who knew? You know, get a better backup right back, Brandon. I think that's one thing for them to prioritize.
Something we haven't talked about, and I think will impact how you feel about Spurs going into game week 37, is the appearance of Bizarro Dele Alli. It's like I've been here playing FIFA, the video game, where you're kind of not enjoying the game, so you just go and you change your character's hairstyle, like either the color of their hair, you switch from long sleeve to short sleeve, and it feels like Dele Alli just went into FIFA character building mode and just changed a few key aspects of himself just to give himself a fresh start. But he
looks completely different.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It was also an incredibly strange performance against Wolves from him. It was like, I didn't think he looked necessarily bad. I did think he looked like woefully out of sync.
Yeah, I think out of sync is the perfect word, because he did some individual things that were cool. It didn't seem like it really helped the Spurs win that match, mm-hmm. but he looked cool doing them. Missed an incredible chance. My God, like, what, it doesn't get easier than it was just a crazy moment. I mean, I actually thought that Kane hit the post mm-hmm. just with his shot. And I didn't know that Patricio had made a really incredible save until you
the slow-mo replay revealed it for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. You know, just back on the Al-Mohammadi thing for a minute, I hadn't really thought about this, but I mean, you're going to have Son attacking Al-Mohammadi's flank. Mm-hmm. Matty Cash has a hamstring injury. The site says he's out until May 27th, and that is 5 days after the season ends.
He's
so
cooked.
I think it's fair to say, mm-hmm. yeah, he's cooked. So I think you could make a case for mm-hmm. Son just attacking that. I mean, basically, like, he could do what Zaha just did today, right?
Yeah.
Which is just destroy Al-Mohammadi. I feel bad about the cowardice thing. Okay. Like, I don't know him. Okay. You know, he's like our age, you know. Yeah. It's like, if you're our age and you're playing a match and a ball is coming at you at, you know, 60 miles per hour, like, I would turn away too. I totally get that. You know, you got a family at home, Brandon.
When you see the next one-star review hit our iTunes page, you know it's coming from somebody who knows Al-Mohammadi or himself.
True.
But yeah, I think you're right regarding Spurs attacking Villa's left, and also Reguilón being a decent pickup going into 37, or if you have him, you know, play Reguilón with purpose in your FPL team this week.
Yeah. I thought he had some nice moments too. I think that he's a fun player to target. God, I do wish that I had Kane down the stretch, and I'm going to keep trying to figure out how to do it. If I could do it for a -4, I'd probably do it. Mm-hmm. That -4 just can't involve me dropping Bruno, because I'm not going to drop Bruno before a home match to Fulham. I'm not that scared of Kane. All right, a couple more questions here. We classic 7 questions, but we went long on like the first 3, so now I want to blast through the final couple.
Sure.
Boston Prof says, who is the best non-traditional captain for Game Week 37? Hey, we just answered that, buddy.
Yeah.
I think Heung-Min Son is a great when we say non-traditional, I mean, yeah, you could say like Rafinha or something. But like, if we're like in the realm of like realistic captain picks, uh-huh. like if it's like a range of like 10 or so, I think Son is probably like 10th on that list. But he actually could be one of the strongest. And he had a weird match today where he was kind of like very much in like a release valve mode, where it was sort of like he would reset the play, or if mm-hmm. things were kind of out of control, they would sort of pass it over to him and he would kind of reset the play a little bit. But I mean, it's not like he's like, you know, out of form by any means. I mean, Son has, you know, he had 3 goals and 1 assist in the 3 matches prior to today, right? I mean, he had a total of 29 points in 3 matches going into today. So, I mean, you know, so it's just a kind of like, he has not gone very many matches without returning this season. And so I'm like almost talking myself into Son right now. I actually think he really could be a great captain pick. So I think that would be my non-traditional. Does anyone else come to mind, Brandon, as a non-traditional captain pick?
Oh, yeah. Trent Alexander-Arnold, he's been on fire the That's last two game weeks. He looked incredible against West Brom. It was almost like everything was going through him. He was crossing from both sides of the pitch and almost was clear through on goal and just kind of lifted the ball up over the frame.
He had some adrenaline moments, I think, today where he got a little too amped up.
But, I mean, your concern with the Liverpool defense and the possibility of a clean sheet is because their central defense is pretty raw. Even still,
basically.
Right. Precisely. It's squishy in the middle. But I think still Burnley is a big clean sheet potential, and just the attacking form that Trent's in, I think he's a great differential pick.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout as well. Andy Robertson, man, like remember when he was like the first half of the season, he was the guy, and I think he just played too many matches. Feels like he's a little fried. Yeah. Probably part of it is he has to cover for the lack of central defenders too. It seems like he's been tasked with that, I think, a little more than Trent. I think we know that Trent can't really, do it.
Defend.
All right, let's go to okay, I've got two more questions here, Brandon, okay? Mm-hmm. Peter Oleski says, I need to jump from 140K to 65K. It's very specific, but let's keep it in here.
Okay.
It says, to keep my perfect improving every year record. Mm. That's a fun record. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to do it, but I like that as an idea. Mm-hmm. It says, I don't mind hits. My mini leagues are already won. Jeez.
Wow, Peter, this is a no humble brag podcast, Peter.
He says, how do I do it? Give me the craziest endgame strategy that just might work. So again, to recap, he's at 140K. He wants to get to 65K. So he's got to jump. He basically has to jump like 75,000 spots with two matches left. How would you suggest that Peter do that, Brandon?
I mean, the only way I think you can do that is to take wild swings with your armband. And the problem in that band of overall rank is that team similarity becomes a real problem. And you can, you can try to be different with like your good suggestion of captaining Son, Josh. And maybe that is the way to go. But I'm thinking of like even because that's such a jump, it's like, I think you have to go even more different. I think you do have to start looking at players like Bamford and Rafinha and hoping they just have they score a hat trick. The only way it's going to happen is if you captain a rando who gets a hat trick.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like who a rando, like if you, you try to find a way to bring in like a Sadio Mane, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, who's out there that nobody owns really that, that could score 20 points in a game week.
It happened last season with Mikel Antonio against Norwich, where he scored four goals. And that's the target that you want. That's the move that you want to target for that kind of a leap.
Yeah. I think, maybe Marcus Rashford. Again, that game week 38 is a little bit of a worry, but he's another player who could get huge returns, right? Who just has kind of his price points made him. It's like look for players in weird price points, right? Like players are just hard to bring in because they're like a little too expensive. But like Danny Ings, I know he got pulled off early this week. Well, maybe that helps him actually in a way, right? Ings at home to Leeds. Like that's it would not stun me if he scored a hat trick at home to Leeds. Like it's not likely, right? If it was likely, we'd all be bringing him in, but like it's would not shock me.
Stranger things, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. Season 4 coming this summer.
Wouldn't that be amazing if Stranger Things season 4 and their new friend was Danny Ings just hanging out at the mall playing like the Centipede or something?
You could believe it. I would believe like his look. I feel like his look would fit like 1988 or something, right? Like
sure.
I don't know. He's got like kind of like the lad's haircut. Like you could see him be like, really into like madness or something, right?
There you go.
All right. I think Peter, outside of the counter thing, it's just not like a one transfer you can do that's going to jump you 30,000 spots. If there were, then you and I would do it. I the one thing I've said before is that when you're trying to make up ground and you want to be different, the thing to look for is imbalance. So if you You know, if there's a way for you to triple up on a defense, for example, that can be one way to do it, because you can just, if it pans out, right, you could be looking at, you know, 20 plus points, just from, you know, three defenders. So I think that, that's one thing I might try to look at too, is are there ways to make my team imbalanced that could, you know, net some big returns. So, you know, like, I think, like, I mean, one suggestion would be, I don't know, like triple up on, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, like getting like Rabo and Trent, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that, you know, I just talked about how Rabo is down a little bit, but I think that, these matches are so important to them down the stretch that I think, you know, they're just always, I mean, Robertson is always a threat to get a couple of assists and you know, they should have a decent chance of clean sheets in both these matches too.
So there it is. The move would be Robertson, Trent, and Mane. The Liverpool triple up right there.
I think I like that. I mean, there's no other like midfielders I think feel like you could trust. I mean, I guess you could go for like Roberto Firmino or something, right? Now that Jota's out, I guess he's going to start all those matches. So had a brace last week. All right. Final question is, I like this one because it's like a very specific, most of these questions have a big picture. Then I've got one very specific one that I just tossed at the end. It's from CG. He says, please choose one 7 million or cheaper striker for the rest of the season. One striker, Brandon.
Okay.
7 million or less.
I mean, I think it's Patrick Bamford, though. I've had concerns about Bamford for the last like 2 months, where he just feels like he's cooled off from the heights. Like he peaked maybe 3 or 4 months ago this season. Yeah. But as we've said, the Leeds fixtures are just really good. And even when Bamford's form dips dramatically, he still keeps getting the starts. Rodrigo's coming in and doing a job, but I do think that Bielsa likes Bamford enough that he's not going to take that starting 11 position away from him until maybe they sign another striker this summer. I don't know. So I think Bamford is the pick.
Given your luck, Brennan, this season, the game week 37 will be the week where Rodrigo gets a start over Bamford. But I agree. I guess I don't know that he wants to end the season like effectively benching Bamford down the stretch. I don't think that Bamford seems like kind of a confidence player, right? And so I don't know that you want to go into next year with him kind of worried about whether he's still fit, you know, at Leeds. So, I mean, I think that Antonio is an interesting one. I don't really know. On the one hand, their fixtures are very good, extremely good. Probably, I would say arguably the best of any of any of like the kind of forward spot players that we're considering. They play away to West Brom and home to Southampton. But just like it feels like they're out of gas, that West Ham team. You know, it feels like they tried their best. They really they've had a great season. I think, you know, they should really be happy with how things have gone. And if they, you know, if they can re-sign or sign Lingard, then I think, you know, they could really feel kind of excited about what's going to happen next season. But, you know, they've lost, you know, 3 of their last 5. Antonio is just such an injury risk as well. And if you already have Lingard in your squad, which most of us do, then suddenly you're doubling up with Lingard and Antonio. And I'm just not like totally sure I want to have double West Ham. I like 5 weeks ago I did, but now I'm not so sure, you know, that I still want that. So that's what's throwing me off a little bit. I just in general, getting players once they've come back from injury, is just something I'm a little like, I really have to be like really gung-ho and excited about it to pull the trigger.
And let's say Patrick Bamford, how many goals is he on for the season? He has 15 league goals, 10 assists. Man, that's such a great return. It feels like a cop-out to like go to the transfer page of the FPL site and pick the highest points getting forward under 7 million. But, you know, that's where we're at.
Yeah, I think I actually think it's kind of hard to pick. There's like a real mix of good and bad. I mean, Watkins doesn't have great fixtures. I actually now, like, after seeing what Traore did to Spurs today, I'm not as worried about Watkins if I end up playing him in 37. 38, they play home to Chelsea, and I just obviously don't love that fixture for him. You know, I guess like Chris Wood has to be up there too. I mean, you know, Burnley have, especially in game week 38. I think it's a real mix.
And Benteke?
I
mean,
Yeah, I mean, Benteke too, but I, you know, I think we already talked about Palace's fixtures. Yeah, I mean, I was really all about Aguero. Like, I know, now that we're just talking about forwards for a second here, like, I was really on the, like, bringing Aguero for game week 38, like, yeah. Captain him.
Yeah.
But now I'm not so sure. I don't know. I mean, like, how many minutes does he play in that match, right? It's just, like, it's hard.
No,
to,
that's...
It's a farewell match, but, yeah.
Sadly off the table. It is sad. And you just have to gauge the player's form too. And Aguero, maybe he takes like a ceremonial penalty or something in game week 38, but it does. Well, I don't know.
There's not even a foul in the box. They're just like yeah, give it to him.
Just give it to him. And that does go back to Peter's question though. Like if you're trying to find some sort of a narrative that can help you explode 50,000 ranks, then captaining Aguero, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, just like which match does he start? You know, it's too stressful. He's been too injured this season. I'm sure he's going to play in 38, but I mean, it's hard for me to measure him playing the full 90, right? It just doesn't seem likely.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, a mixed bag. Basically, I actually hate my forwards for 38. Down the stretch here, I mean, again, I really wish I'd gone with Kane because now I'm in this position where I don't mind them for 37. I don't mind having Calvert-Lewin for sure. Felt better before today's match, but yeah. And then I've got Watkins and I have Iheanacho, and I don't mind. I think in game week 38, starting Iheanacho at home to Spurs, I think that's fine. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just not enamored with Spurs defense. I think he could score there. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if I were to look at my final transfers for the season, I suspect one of them will be a midfield transfer. One of them will be a forward transfer. And my defenders, I'm just going to hope, I guess, that Luke Shaw plays both matches. And I don't have to resort to Dan Byrne away to Arsenal in game week 38. That does not seem very fun to me. What would you play in game week 38? Would you play Dan Byrne at Arsenal, or would you play Lucas Dean at Man City?
Well, I mean, I guess conventional wisdom would be the attacking upside of Lucas Dean, where, you know, you could always, you know, put a cross in. And as we've been talking about the rotation for City, You see when you've got the City B team where it's Nathan Ake and Eric Garcia, like, they're just letting goals in for fun against Newcastle. So I don't hate Everton in game week 38 against a heavily rotated City defense. So I think Dean is the way to go. That's it. Like, it's not like Arsenal or the goals aren't flying in for Arsenal either. So Dan Byrne. I don't think they're terrible choices, but I go Dean in that situation.
I know. I feel like we're being very contradictory here. I'm like big up in Arsenal's defense, and then I'm like, hey, maybe I'll play Dan Byrne away to Arsenal because they can't score a lot. And I'm talking about how Rabo's exhausted, and then I'm like, hey, maybe if you want to be different, go for Rabo. But I think it underscores that you have a real mixed bag of fixtures down the stretch, and there are very few teams that really have a good run of fixtures. You have Liverpool, Leeds, West Ham. I mean, you have Newcastle and Sheffield United, but I don't think either of us really want to touch those two teams. Arsenal's fixtures are okay. You know, I mean, we haven't talked about Chelsea or Leicester at all, but I mean, Leicester play away to Chelsea and home to Spurs the final two matches. I mean, that's not great at all, you know? So, yeah, it's tricky.
And Leicester, I think, are going to be playing for that one point that they need, as you said, Josh. So I don't think that,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Leicester scoring a goal is a great way for them to play defense, but I do think that they're going to try to keep it very, very tight in those matches.
Yeah, I think so too. I suppose if they got one point and then they did lose to Spurs, I suppose there are, I mean, there's just a lot of different scenarios, really. But I think, you know, I would certainly favor Leicester to beat Spurs at home in game week 38. I would strongly suspect that that's how that happened. I mean, I was pretty impressed with how they played yesterday, right? That's a huge cup final against Chelsea. Chelsea played a full strength squad. It was, you know, and they beat them 1-0. And so, do you think it has any, like the psychology there, does that make Chelsea more likely to win at midweek? I mean, I feel like I don't really know, like, I don't have like any great thoughts about that kind of stuff, you know, like whether that actually makes a difference or not. You know?
I don't think it does. If you like, what we know about Tuchel is that he's just a very regimented, tactically minded manager. He's not a Jurgen Klopp type that is going to use a moment like that FA Cup final to G people up or change them emotionally. Right. I don't think it changes Chelsea's approach at all. I think for Leicester, I think it's more of a thing for Leicester, and it's a positive thing, like the confidence that they have. They're FA Cup champions.
That's
true. The injury to Johnny Evans. How bad was the injury to Johnny Evans? Like, I think that would be a worry for me because he's been so talismanic for them at the back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he limped off, but they still kept a clean sheet even with him limping off in the 30th minute. So that Chelsea team is kind of strange. You know, I mean, clearly like just loaded with talent, but it's a little surprising so that they made a Champions League final, right? It feels like I'm surprised that like they were able to get all those puzzle pieces together, you know, in time to beat Real Madrid. And maybe it was just the right year for it or something,
it's a replay of the Roberto Di Matteo. Wasn't that their subbed in manager?
Yeah.
On the back of Fernando Torres' goal against Barcelona. And they went on to win the Champions League. So it's like Chelsea wins the Champions League on these oddball seasons.
I guess so. Yeah, you and I watched that one together. I remember it was we were in Montauk, New York.
When we were in Montauk, that was the Drogba against Bayern Munich. Because that was the final, of course. I'm totally focused on the semifinal against Barcelona.
The open net late. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great moment. Even not as a Spurs fan, as a Chelsea fan, but it's just that was a great moment. All right. So that's the pod. We'll be doing a Patreon pod, I don't know, probably Wednesday or Thursday to be determined. Maybe we'll talk to our Patreon supporters and see which day they'd prefer. But we'll be doing a preview pod for them. For everyone else, we will be back next Sunday for our season wrap up podcast. I can't believe we're here, but Brandon, this is it. This is our final strategy session of the season. And so, I know some people are doing the fantasy Euro stuff. You and I have been down this road before with fantasy Euros and fantasy World Cup. And we have found that the engagement level doesn't stay super high a lot of the time. No. So I think we're planning to just enjoy the World Cup, maybe do some pods in between, but really, get back when the game relaunches, you know, probably sometime in July, I think that's when we'll be really back in full force.
But we're really enjoying these live locker room chats on Friday. So I think that's probably going to be something that we're going to lean on in terms of just getting at our fans during the Euros. So look out for us all over social for when we're going to be doing those live locker room chats. You can actually get involved, get on the shows with us, chat with us, and, you know, we can talk about the Euros or whatever else it is that you want to talk about.
Perfect. All right. Well, Brandon, do you want to thank our Patreon supporters?
Oh, I do. And speaking of locker room, I was just so happy to talk to our producer, Mike DiPietro, on Friday on our locker room. And he is so good at reminding us of the responsibilities that he cherishes as a producer. So this week, I'm actually promoting Mike DiPietro to the pole position on our producer list. So I'm going to go ahead and do that for Mike. Sorry, Trevor. So here goes the thank yous for our producers: Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian Teed, Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forbrick-Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Mikey Uong, Bruce Kerr, Nicholas Vernadakis, Sam Schauer, Will Husby, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Morjoria, Rom Frosk, and AJ. Don't forget, and listen, it's the end of the season. Go ahead, leave your final rating and review, and it better be 5 stars on Apple Podcast, and subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast. Follow us all over social media. Email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And for all that information, including our online gift shop that Josh, you called out at the start of the show. Visit us at alwayscheating.com.
Perfect. And an extra bonus shout out to producer Ben Sweeney, by the way, who I ended up yelling at on Twitter, as is my occasional want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to the final. I mean, I think it's gonna be fascinating. You know, down the stretch, fantasy wise, I think there's some really tough decisions to make, especially if you are not just gonna camp in Sol every week. I think there's really some interesting choices to be made.
Totally agree. So good luck to everyone, and we'll see you on the other side.